I'd like to hear how you've experienced these recent decades in this country and that evolution. I think that many non-evangelical Americans felt that in the year 2000, or at latest by the 2004 election, this very politically actively group of evangelical Christians sort of emerged, you know, fully formed. But in fact, and I think you've been in Washington, I think you've been part of this and observing this all the time. I mean, this has been something that's been decades in the making. Now, didn't you come to Washington initially during the Reagan administration working with the Moral Majority? Is that
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. In other words, I came to Washington before Ronald Reagan, when Jimmy Carter was in the White mm-hmm. House, and yet after Reagan was elected, went to the opening of the offices of the Moral Majority. And I was there when they closed those offices
okay.
years later. But I was there at the dawn, so to speak, of the new religious right, as they called it then, that got so involved in issues such as the school prayer amendment, abortion, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Very much challenging the existing Republican and Democratic parties with its moral claims. Jerry Falwell was alleged, of course, to have planted the Christian flag on this side of the Potomac, coming from Lynchburg. But mm-hmm. fact of the matter is, the NAE had had an office in Washington since the 1940s. But it was true that these leaders took a backwards movement that had rejected politics, give them credit for that, and said, we're not going to take it anymore, and throw open the shutters, and said, get your rear ends in gear, and we're going to change politics. I was about to say something else.
Okay. Well, and what changed? And I mean, what changed theologically that these Christian leaders could have the same, hold the same religious values and have a different idea about public engagement?
Well, evangelicalism had, of course, been growing through the 40s and 50s and 60s and early 70s from a movement that had been at the backwaters of American life. In fact, when NAE was created in 1942, just a few years later, the handbook of annual yearbook of American Christian churches didn't even include the denominations of the NAE, nor a mention of the National Association of Evangelicals. To the
point, isn't that quite a few denominations that we're talking about?
54 today.
Uh-huh.
But in the mid-1940s, there was nary a mention of any of our denominations. I think the only one that was mentioned was the Assemblies of God. And yet 54 years later, these denominations encompassed, 54 of them, 45,000 churches, growing rapidly to become a visible force in American public life, and yet not all that politically astute, led in the early years, though, by men such as the Reverend Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson and others, to reject the disengagement of the past, to say, out of a concern for protecting at first the Christian school movement and the integrity of those schools, some called them white flight. In other words, in an attempt to avoid integration. That's
right.
A little bit unfair, but nonetheless, out of a desire to protect the integrity of the institutions, the evangelicals raised up their voice and went into the ballot box to protect freedom. And of course, Ronald Reagan said in his famous speech in early 1980 to the evangelicals, he said, "You can't endorse me, but I can endorse you." See? And of course, the evangelicals joined together to throw out one of their own, Jimmy Carter.
Right. I was going to say, I mean, we don't associate the beginnings of that with the Carter administration, which in fact was the administration of an evangelical Christian.
Absolutely. And mm-hmm. it was talk show host Fred Barnes who had asked the question of Jimmy Carter, do you call yourself a born-again Christian? And mm-hmm. Jimmy Carter said he was.
So,
I was living overseas at the time in Taiwan, studying Mandarin, expecting to go to the mainland, potentially as a foreign service officer with our own State Department, when a man not associated with evangelicalism, Norman Vincent Peale, probably as well known in his day as Billy Graham is this mm-hmm. this year, spoke at a downtown business club where I was asked to do my usual 10 minutes as a graduate student. And Norman Vincent Peale said to me at that Rotary Club luncheon that day. He said, "Young man, what are you going to do with your life?" And I said, "Well, Dr. Peel, I was planning on going into the Foreign Service, but I've had some seminary classes and I'm thinking about that." And he said, "Young man," he said, "God can use a few good diplomats."
And?
Well, I went to seminary. But I also knew I was inextricably related somehow to the political times of the day, you know, the political environment, and called to exercise my faith in that arena, and thus accepted a call in 1980 to come to Washington. And thus I watched this Take America Back movement, not entirely comfortable with it, I have to confess, but nonetheless very much a part of it.